This is Thursday, April 25th. Would you say that your nation, the nation you are living in, is glad? Can a whole nation be glad? Perhaps we find it difficult to think of a nation having a perspective on life, a tone of life, but they do. Nations have identities, perspectives, and emotional frameworks. We see this across history, even if we don't see clearly the attitudes that characterize our nation right now. For example, when the United States was founded, there was a spirit of adventure and opportunity. Some people called it the American Dream, not because it was wishful thinking, but because it was based on the idea that your life could change. To grow up in Europe a couple hundred years ago meant being locked into your status and your class all your life. This is true in many countries even today. But here in this new nation, you could rise above your birth status, and you could choose a life for yourself to a far greater extent. Now, in the early days, this felt like a great human experiment in freedom. Okay, let's think about the nations today. Is the nation glad? In many ways, probably not. We get the feeling that the nation is going through an identity crisis. We don't quite know who we are, where we're going, or how we're going to get there. We are conflicted and leadership is muddled and divided. And yes, if we look around the world, we see nations at war, nations striving for status, nations seeking power and respect. Now I want to go to our text for today. This is Psalm chapter 67, Psalm 67, verse 3 and 4. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. Now here's that vision that we have been looking at this week, where all the peoples of the earth are praising the Lord. It explains the nations being glad. Why would that happen? Why would they be glad? Because under God, there's a faithful and just rule. Now, this is tough for us to understand. But Israel, when God formed it into a nation, became a theocracy. That is, it was ruled by the Lord himself through the law that he gave to his people. Now, we can't understand how powerful this was. Human tyranny seems to be a constant with rulers who do with their people as they choose. Injustice seems to be the norm. But the Lord called his people together around him. He gave them his law to order their lives so that they might live in justice. Here's Moses explaining how surprising this was, that there would be a people led and cared for directly by the Lord. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created human beings on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like this ever been heard of? Has any people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testing signs and wonders, by war, a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? That's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 32 to 34. No, this has happened to no one else, Moses said. No one has God taken as his own people. And the Lord did this with the hopes that people would see their lives, the lives of those he called to himself, and seek him out for just rule. Yes, this would make the very nations be glad. Now, we all might wonder today, how could this be possible? There's no theocracy here on earth, and Israel failed to walk with the Lord, and there's no going back to that way. And this is where Jesus comes into the picture. Rather than working through one nation, God has called to himself a people redeemed by grace, a people that live like no one else because of Jesus, because of the redemption they have experienced. Now, the Old Testament prophets promised that a day like this was coming. For example, here's the prophet Jeremiah. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Now we hear the same plan expressed in the words of Ezekiel the prophet. "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God." That's Ezekiel 11, 19 to 20. Yes, God will fulfill his promise and complete his plan through a new people. Both prophets, Ezekiel and Jeremiah, share the same words, "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And that is you and me, all those who belong to Jesus, who now, having his Spirit, come to live their lives in him. In so doing, they become a new people living under the kingship of God through Jesus. This is how God will extend his righteous rule around the world, how he will make the nations glad, how he will answer the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, "May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." Now for us, this is a high calling. It's a tall order to fill, and in short, we can't do it. But we realize this is possible not because we get our lives together. It's possible because of God's grace in us. And yes, he gives us a new heart, a new spirit. God equips us with all that we need for this life. What is our part? It is every day resting in Christ, keeping in step with the Spirit, living the new life that we have been given by God in Jesus Christ, seeing our living, our calling, by what he provides to us in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we have difficulty believing the world can change, believing that we can change. Thank you for providing all that we need in Christ. Teach us your way of love, O Lord. Enable us to live in your truth. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.